Welcome to the Financial Bees Podcast, the practice owner's guide to maximize practice value and create personal financial success. Your host, Eric Miller, is the co-owner and chief advisor at Econologix Financial Advisors. He is also a national speaker and published author in financial matters focused on practice owners at every phase of ownership.
All right, welcome back to the Financial Bees Podcast for veterinarians. We are the source of financial guidance for veterinary owners and associates, whoever, anybody in the veterinary field. I'm your host, Eric Miller. I'm here with
Eric Gersh.
And we are here to talk about
exiting.
Exiting. So this was the intro. We were talking about the do's and don'ts of exiting your practice. And we're going to answer those two questions that you need to ask yourself before you exit. And then the other part of this was when you should start preparing for your exit. Now, we've had an awful lot of experience with exiting.
Oh, yeah. Over the last couple of years, it's been nonstop.
What's going on?
A lot of offers, a lot of money. Well, until recently, there was a lot of cheap money flowing around. So people were buying practices.
Yeah, it was a ton. I think we did the numbers on there. We had
over 250 million worth of practice sales.
Most of that in the veterinary industry too, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
And you know, I think in looking at some of like the mergers and acquisitions people, some of the brokers, they're, you know, that it's been billions of dollars.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Of money that has been allocated for the acquisition of veterinary practices. And I mean, I know it's going to slow down, but I think it's still going to continue on. So if you're thinking about getting into the veterinary industry, I still think it's a great business to do.
Oh yeah. It's always going to be in demand.
And if you're thinking about ownership and you think that you missed the boat on all this, think again.
It's never too late.
No. I mean, these are good businesses. What do we like about the veterinary business, that amongst all the other types of industries that we work with, why is it that we like this one so much?
Cash. They're cash based. You're in control more. I mean, if you're a physical therapist, you're beholden to the insurance companies and what they'll reimburse you per session. If you're a vet, you set your own prices. You want to increase them? You just go in the computer system and do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about ripping people off or anything like that. I'm just saying you're in control more than you are in most any other medical profession when it comes to pricing and revenue.
Yeah, because there is no middleman of insurance. And yeah, I mean, yeah, there's other things that you have to, you know, equipment's expensive, that's for sure.
Staff is hard to find.
You got to find veterinary. I mean, there's definitely challenges in there, but when it comes to the money lines, you know, I don't think people realize, vets don't really realize just how bad insurance reimbursers can be. And not having to deal with that is a big advantage. And I think that's probably why a lot of these corporate groups are in there too, because they don't have to deal with them.
Yep. Agree.
So, okay, good. So we agree that this is going to be a good, and no matter if you're thinking about ownership, I still think it's a good time right now. There's still a lot of single doctor practices out there that haven't sold that need an exit strategy.
Oh, it's a great time. You have I don't know how many thousands of baby boomers trying to retire.
Yeah.
They all need to sell their practice, and not all of them are going to go to corporate.
No, most of them can't, because they're only single doctor practices, which means that you can get the practice and probably the real estate. I mean, not cheap, but you can certainly get it for less than what it would cost to buy a bigger practice. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. From what I've seen, it's a buyer's market. If you're trying to get into veterinary and, you know, single doctor practice, it's a buyer's market right now.
Yeah. So I would highly encourage those of you that have like, I don't want to be an owner, I don't want the stress, I mean, all those things are true. It definitely adds to your stress. But I don't know any other way that you can really accelerate getting into financial independence. I mean, one of the fastest ways you can do it is through business ownership, practice ownership. So don't poo-poo it. And definitely look at it as an option. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
We're here to talk about exiting your practice and the two most important questions that you need to ask yourself before you decide to exit. Do you know what these two questions are?
Why am I exiting?
Close. Yeah. What's the other thing?
When?
All right.
How?
Yeah. I mean, I think those things are important, but I think that the two most important questions though, that we're going to have to discuss before you decide that you're going to exit is number one, are you emotionally ready to exit out?
Are you doing it just because you're burned out?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Cause I know that we've had a lot of people that have come to us and said, can't do it anymore, burnout. And if you've heard us talk before, you know, we look at the symptom of burnout as the fact that you've put all this energy and effort into an activity and it really hasn't paid you back as much as it should.
They're burned out simply, most of them, because they feel like they're not getting what they deserve for the work that they've been putting in.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. If you put a huge amount of effort into something and you don't get like the recognition or exchange back, I can't blame you for getting pissed off or upset or wanting to give up. I understand that completely. But those are things that, you know, you can control the outcome to some degree on that one. And, you know, I think my best story on this has always been like I had a veterinarian that had a really good practice. She got approached for like $5.2 million and she was totally burnt out and ready to pull the trigger. And we looked at it and said, you know, it's not bad, but it, you know, don't make the decision right now because you're burnt out on this one or frustrated because of some of your staff members. Why don't you just go in and try to fix some of this over the course of the next year? And she did. And to her credit, the next year she got another offer and it was 6.4. So it was a $1.2 million, you know, mistake that she almost made.
Yeah. Just for hanging on for 1 year.
Yeah. And just not doing it when you're burnt out. So never, ever, ever make a decision, when you're burnt out. But not only that, but, you know, I think, you know, emotional readiness also means like, is there something else that you have that you want to do? And you're ready to do that. Like the game is over with as far as ownership is concerned. Like you feel like you've accomplished what you've accomplished, feel like you have a good practice and you just want to transition and do something else.
Yeah. What am I going to do next?
Yeah. But I think it's important to have that something to do next kind of mapped out because you're going to miss, there's going to be a big chasm of time now.
Oh yeah. Everyone says, I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss the stress. But you know, when you overnight go from being a business owner for, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus years, and then you wake up on Monday and you don't have all of that to do, you're lost.
I think that first couple of months is probably pretty awesome. Yeah, you know,
catch up on travel.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first few months is probably going to be pretty awesome. You're like, I can do whatever I want to. And, you know, maybe you have some vacations booked and, you know, maybe you have, you know, some other free time and you don't have to deal with any of that. But I think for the most part, after a while, you're going to get bored.
Yeah. Once you get past the excitement of it all,
it's a
new normal. And if you don't have a plan for what that new normal is going to be, it may be disappointing.
Yeah. I think you definitely need to have some kind of game that's going to, it doesn't have to be another business. It just has to be something. And maybe it's just still working. Maybe you just decide that you want to still work, you know, two or three days a week.
I have a vet. He sold two practices, actually. He owned two of them, but he ultimately sold both of them within the course of 2 years. And now he does relief work and moves across the country with his wife and they love it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Get to see different places, work at different practices, pick up a nice signing bonus each time. You know, it's not a bad gig, but at the end of the day, he's able to do it because he exited in the correct way.
Yeah. So that I think is really important. Like if you're, what is your emotional state of mind? And never ever exit when you're just completely burnt out. You know, make sure that you have something to replace the activity of ownership, because it does take an awful lot of time and attention, and you certainly don't want to get too bored. And I think that is a really important question that you need to ask yourself. I'm trying to think, is there anything else on there that I would think about when it comes to your emotional readiness? Nope, I don't have anything really, else coming to mind.
Not, me neither.
Okay, now the second question, which is probably even more important, is, are you financially ready to exit out the practice? Because this is where we get into really understanding how valuable that business is to your household.
Yeah, you're giving up the access to the cash flow.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize that when you really look at like a breakdown of profit and loss statement and how much of that the business helps offset your lifestyle.
Oh yeah. People, you know, they pay their cell phone through there, their car through there. They buy, just small stuff like paper towel, they take it home, but all these little things add up.
Yeah. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think, when you really look at it. Of benefit that you get from the business,
health insurance.
Yeah. I mean, you got a $1 million practice. I'm going to bet probably $200,000 of that is of a benefit to you in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
So that's a big number to try to replace. So I got news for you. You're not going to replace that amount of cash flow that you get from the business from the sale proceeds.
No.
And we'll just give a quick example of that. Let's say you got $1 million practice that you're getting $200,000 a year from in profit distributions and whatever other expenses, right?
Yep.
Well, how much is $1 million practice probably going to sell for?
Somewhere between 1 and 1.5.
Let's maybe be generous and say 2 million.
Okay.
Let's be generous and say that $1 million practice would sell for $2 million.
Okay.
Okay. Got to pay taxes.
Got to pay debt. If there's any, any business debt.
So let's say there's no business debt and I just have to pay taxes.
Okay.
So how much is the tax bill on 2 million?
20, 25%, depending on your state, maybe even higher.
So let's just say it's 500,000.
Yeah.
So 2 million minus 500,000.
1.5.
Okay. Now let's make it super simple. You got a calculator right there.
Yep.
And we'll just say we're going to put the 1.5 million in T-bills right now.
5%.
Earn 5%. How much is that?
$75,000.
$75,000, right? So that's different than $200,000.
Yeah, it's about a third.
Yeah, it's about a third. So you can see that the even getting double of your gross revenue on the sale still is not going to replace how much you're able to take out of the practice every single year. So it is an enormous income source that you have to make sure that you are financially ready to be able to exit out of the practice, meaning that your lifestyle doesn't really materially change that much.
No, you shouldn't aim. I see this all too often, but you shouldn't aim to retire on less money than you're working or while you're making while you're working.
Yeah. It needs to be the same or even a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens far too often with a lot of veterinary owners is that they don't realize just how, you know, you see this, I'm going to get $1 million. I'm going to get $2 million. And it seems like all the money in the world, but it goes fast.
You can go through that real fast.
You can go through it really quick, really quick. So, this is where we say that you have to start like really looking at, what your income sources are going to be post sale. Now I wouldn't tell someone just because that the sale isn't going to provide them the same amount of money, as they were making. I wouldn't say don't sell, but then you have to look at your other income sources. Like how much are you going to get from your real estate?
Yeah. How are we going to make this add up?
Yeah. I mean, how much you get to get from Social Security? How much you get to get from your retirement plans? When you get to start drawing from them? Are you going to continue to work for, you know, a number of years? How much is that going to be? you know, because you're not probably going to want to work as hard as you did.
No.
You know, you're not going to want to work 5 days a week.
No.
You're probably only going to work 3 days a week, you know, and you're probably only going to be making, I don't know, 50 to 75 thousand
at most,
you know? So, now it can be done, but this is where we really tell you, like, you have to do an evaluation of all your different income sources and also look at when you're going to start distributing them as well, because, you know, you could be too young to start taking from your retirement accounts, and that's fine. But it just you have to do like a thorough deep dive into all your income sources to see what your life is going to look like. Yep. And is that amount of money that you're going to basically be living on between maybe the rent on your building, the sale proceeds, the wage that you're going to earn and still working and, you know, whatever else, is that going to be enough for your desired lifestyle?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, totally agree.
So I think that's that you have to do an analysis on that. How many times do you do that with someone when they're looking to sell?
Every time.
And how many times have they said to you, well, have you done that? Or when, and you said to the person, no, you shouldn't sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I've done it.
Yeah. See, I think that I like that.
You're not doing them any favors if I just tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah. What did you tell them?
I told them, you know, let's look at this. Where do you actually want to be? And ultimately in this scenario, we ended up holding off on the sale as well.
Yep.
And we actually asked the buyer, okay, if I want to get X amount for my practice, what metrics do I need to hit? They ultimately ended up hitting them. Now they're done.
Yeah.
But we took an honest look at what the income was going to look like, and it just point blank wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. Yeah. Yeah, it takes some stones to do that as an advisor, but you need to do it. And your advisors need to know, like, this is why I can't believe people don't work with an industry specific advisor, because how would you know some of these things?
You wouldn't.
If you didn't work in, if we didn't know veterinary hospitals.
Yeah, wouldn't know any of this.
So it's really important, I think, that you work with somebody in the industry that understands like the mechanics of your practice and valuations and how that works out, because otherwise you're going to be throwing a lot of money away. But yeah, so I think that's a great example of, you know, making sure that you have enough, and really you got to make sure like the sale is going to give you more than enough when you look at all your other income sources to live the life that you want to live. That's been the best thing so far when I've done that with somebody, is I give them because that's all the people are looking for when they're exiting, is like, is this sale going to make my life the way that I want it?
Yeah. They want confidence.
Yeah. And I get the best, I don't know, most joy when I can tell, like there's a veterinarian in Iowa that sold. And I remember going over all of his numbers and I showed him exactly, this is the probability of what your income sources are going to look like after the sale. Right. And is this enough? And can you live with this? And he's like, that is enough. And I was like, good, man. Then execute.
Yeah. Move ahead.
Yeah. And he was like, I can't tell you how much I appreciated that, because I was holding on really tight to this thing. And I was like, no, he only had it for like 5 years too. He built a big, you know, construction job. And anyway, it's really fun to do that.
Yeah. How can you be confident if you don't even know what your life is going to look like financially after?
It's
impossible.
Absolutely. So two biggest questions. Number one, are you emotionally ready? Okay. Talked about that. Number two, are you financially ready? Because you do have to take into consideration the sale. You're probably going to have to pay off some debt. You're probably going to want to pay off some personal debt. And you really have to recognize the tax situation, how much is going to be left over, which debt should you pay off, what order. Like, you do need an exit plan to make sure that you're allocating money correctly. And then most importantly, how am I going to invest this money so that it earns what I need it to earn? And if you don't have those things done prior to the sale, what ends up happening?
Poor decisions. I was just going to say, when you mentioned investments,
yep.
If you don't know what you're going to do before you close, everybody has ideas, right? Yeah. Your friend's going to give you ideas. Your banker's going to give you ideas. Your accountant's going to give you ideas. And you're just stuck in the middle and trying to make sense of what's best. And if you do that, you're probably going to make a poor decision.
Oh my God. We've had so many stories of this right here. I think I just talked to a client that was in, that went to the, VMX conference and said that she met a friend that closed, and her advisor, cause she'd been working with her advisor for, 15 years, probably had most of her money in stocks and mutual funds and all those things.
Yep.
Took all the sale proceeds, did the same thing that they'd been doing, right?
Yep.
Prior to that. And she was down 25%.
Ouch.
Yeah. And again, we're not anti-marketable securities in stock market, but my God, why in the world would you take all that money and put it at that much risk?
Yeah.
Without looking at other options and methods to preserve the capital at the same time. So you got to really make sure that you understand, this is a big financial event. You only get to do it once, and you have to make sure that you do it right and have a plan for where the money's going to go.
Yep.
Prior to it hitting. Cause either that, you're just going to let it sit in the bank account, do nothing, or you're going to put it somewhere where you're going to regret it.
Yep.
At some point in time.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, good. So last question is when you should start preparing for your exit.
Today.
So I definitely have some thoughts on that.
Today.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So I've been in business for 3 years. You're telling me I start preparing for my exit today, right now?
You don't have to know who your buyer is. You don't have to know how you're going to sell. You don't even really have to know exactly when you're going to sell, but you should at least be, number one, building up your assets so that you have other income streams besides the sale.
Yep.
And number two, have a realistic range. And what I mean by that is, okay, I'm, 45 years old. I want to be done early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know if it's 61 or 64, but I think if you know a rough timeline and you start saving and building income streams right away, that's really all you need to know.
I think from the financial readiness perspective, you should start preparing for your exit that way, right? So you're not dependent upon it. From the business perspective, you don't have to know who you're going to sell to. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have some idea of how you want to transition. But I mean, okay, if I know I'm going to sell to corporate, there are some things that I need to do to make sure that I get a good value. When I sell,
you need to have multiple doctors. Number one,
you need to have Okay. So I know I have to have a pretty decent sized facility.
Yep.
I need to have multiple doctors. What else?
Growing.
Need
year
to make
for a year.
Need to make sure that I'm showing some growth.
No one wants to buy a shrinking practice.
I have to have a relatively good profit margin.
Yep.
What else? I should not be the main producer.
Yes.
Good
one. Yep.
That's a pretty big one right there.
Yeah. You don't want to be 80% of the revenue.
Yeah.
Corporate might still buy you, but you're going to be working for 5 years.
Yeah. They're not going to give you as much as they give somebody else. What else? Obviously in a pretty good demographic area. I think we hit the new patients you should see. Promotion wise, you should make sure that the practice is visible on social media and all those things. So, but these are things that are just good business practices, right?
Yeah.
But this is preparing you for an exit.
It is.
Because you're ultimately wanting to hand this thing off to someone else in good condition.
Yep.
Yeah. And that is really the key is I want to hand this thing off in good condition. I think you need to have some good executives, like a layer of good executives. And you should have a low turnover or relatively low turnover rate.
Yeah.
To show that you have a pretty good culture.
Stable staff.
Yeah, stable staff. So all those things are preparing for your exit because that's what the buyer is going to want to look for. Like they're buying this cash flow business because they have confidence it's going to continue on.
Yeah, they're wanting to buy a reliable, well-ran, practice that they can jump in the driver's seat and keep the ship going. They don't want to buy something that they need to fix up. This isn't flipping a house.
Yeah. I mean, they would buy it, but they're just not going to give you the value that you probably think for it. Yeah, because they're going to have to go in and fix all these things. So the short answer on that is, well, you should start preparing for your exit the moment that you buy it. The moment you acquire it, you should start looking at what is my potential transition. And at least you have something that you're building it towards so that, you know, you can work on your business, you know, throughout the years to get it ready to sell. And, but it doesn't take that long to get it ready to sell. I think, you know, you can probably do it in like less than a year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. 6 months to a year.
Oh, I know another important one too, making sure like all your compliance and legal and all that stuff is in good shape. You've reviewed your operating agreements. You have good partners.
Boring.
Nobody cares about that though.
No.
Right?
No, you're right though.
Didn't you have a deal that almost got killed because the operating agreements weren't in very good order and, you know, one of the owners kind of balked it to the sell. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Make sure you guys review your partnership, especially if you have partners, review your agreements, make sure they're all in good shape because they will come back to bite you if you don't. That's a good story right there.
Lease agreements too.
Oh yeah. Lease agreements on the buildings as well. Yeah. You got to make sure if you have your own building, obviously that makes it easier. If you're leasing from somebody else, then make sure you have a good lease agreement in place.
Yeah. That's been a holdup.
Yeah. That's definitely been a holdup. So I guess the moral of the story is always prepare for your exit. Like you're going to have to sell tomorrow.
Be ready
for whatever reason. Right. And it may seem overwhelming, but again, that's why you work with a professional that can help you, you know, make sure that you're getting your practice into a condition where it's always going to be in a good financial condition, regardless of when the time is. And I think that's good. Okay. Well, good. So yeah, I think we broke that down pretty well in 20, almost 27 minutes. Anything else on this?
No.
All right. So again, guys, just to wrap up, make sure that you ask yourself financial readiness, emotional readiness before you exit out. Never exit out in a burnout. And it's never too soon to start preparing for your exit, regardless of where you are in your practice journey. And it's important that you do so. So again, if you have any other questions, you can always reach out to us. You can go to econologicsfinancialadvisors.com. We have plenty of downloads and checklists and all kinds of things. You can go to How to Become a Financial Beast. We wrote a book that was specific for practice owners. If you like this episode, make sure you, what do? They write a review, some kind?
Share it,
do whatever. If you have groups that let people know that there is a podcast out there specifically for veterinarians and their money. That's it. And we will see you guys next time. Take care.
You have been listening to the Financial Beast podcast, where we talk about how to turn practice profits into personal financial wealth. For more information on how to become a financial beast in practice ownership, visit financialbeastpodcast.com. You may also want to call the office at 727-588-1540 to request more information on becoming a client or arrange to have Eric speak at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or financialbeastpodcast.com.